Join executive producer and former Victoria's Secret model, Summer Helene, and get the royal tour as the Duchess of Hollywood takes you behind the scenes and gives you an insider's guide to Hollywood. Get the scoop and all the dirt, and listen in on location with Summer Helene as she guides you through the entertainment world. Summer will challenge everything you think you know about Hollywood. Because of its mature content, Behind the Scenes with Summer Helene is recommended for an adult audience.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. Same old show, brand new network. I am happy to be here with you, and we have a whole bunch going on. We've got George Zimmerman, cop shooter, saying, I hope I got him this time. Charming, charming fellow. We have Courtney Stodden. You know Courtney Stodden? She is the young, skanky chick that married the guy from Green Mile, then divorced him. Well, she has an ice cream sundae sex tape. No joke. You've got a whole bunch going on in Hollywood this week, and not the least of it is our old favorite, Mr. Jell-O himself. Bill Cosby is talking a little bit about his sex scandal. I shouldn't call it a sex scandal. It's a rape scandal. Not exactly a Hollywood secret. It's not surprising that he is having the trouble he has. We have a great show, a bunch of Hollywood gossip to talk to you about. This week, my co-host is going to be the amazing Dev Ross. Now, here is the catch. I know you guys all love John Kessner. Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to be on this week. That's right. We can't have John Kessner on. So it's a little sad. I mean, we love John Kessner, but, you know, I guess he occasionally has to have a life and do his own thing. John, I hope you're listening to the show. We are ragging on you for not being on this week. We love him, though. So my co-host for this week is going to be Dev Ross. We love Dev. You love Dev. She is going to be on with us, and then we will be speaking with Cindy Honig. Cindy Honig has been in the entertainment industry forever. Cindy is one of my favorite people. She is an Oklahoma girl. She's a writer, everything else. But my co-host for this week is going to be Dev Ross. Hi, Dev.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good, good. We're on a new network. We're having fun.
Oh, great.
Lots and lots of listeners. Great. So I got to ask
you. Hi, listeners.
Yeah, hi, listeners. What do you think of the Bill Cosby scandal? He kind of came out and said it wasn't anyone's business. I know.
Oh, God, what do I think about the Bill Cosby scandal?
I know. Not exactly a Hollywood secret. I mean, everyone knew what he was up to.
Oh, well, I didn't. But
okay, everyone, Dev knew what he was up to.
Yeah, well, you know, What do I think? I think he got busted. And I think that he still comes from that old Hollywood and, you know, where you think that you're shown steak and you can get away with that stuff. And I think he's more pissed that he got caught than he is ashamed.
I think he's got to be pissed he's caught, but I think he's also got to be a little shocked. I mean, and I love you boys when I am saying this because I know a couple of the guys I work with listen in every single week, so I am not talking about you. You are wonderful. Thank you for paying me. But there is a feeling with the old boys, the real old boys especially, that they can get away with anything at least once, 50 times if they like it. Mm-hmm. And I think Bill Cosby still ascribes to that. You look at the younger guys today.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you look at the younger guys today and the kids in Hollywood. I mean, Justin Bieber thinks he's freaking Teflon. Nothing's going to stick there. But for Bill Cosby, he's lived a life where he really was Teflon. Nothing stuck. So I got to agree with you.
And I think what you're – yeah. So, you know, way back when I was an actress, I remember – there was one audition in particular where I had a very interesting experience where I was reading with the producer and reached up my shirt and grabbed my breast. So I reached up his shirt and grabbed the hair on his chest. And I pulled and I told him I would let go when he let go. And he was flabbergasted. And then he pulled out a picture of all these beautiful naked women that he had taken snapshots of that had come into audition. And he said, all of these took off their clothes for me just like that. What makes you different? And I was just like, oh, what makes me different? Be known as an actress. My work is good. I'm a person. I'm not just a, you know, all the things that you say. But the fact of the matter is that he was agog. He was aghast. He was just used to
it being a certain way.
Just being a certain way. That was probably my most outrageous experience. But there were many more that were like that, where it was just expected. And I do think that he comes from that generation, and now he got caught. And because now that just doesn't fly anymore, thank God.
Well, I got to say, I am going to say, when you say it doesn't fly anymore, I love my Hollywood. I love my boys here. I am not criticizing them. The boys are the ones that open the door for me. But it does still, not to the same degree. Like, you're not getting away with rape anymore. But you're still, there is still the expectation in a lot of cases of sex. You're very familiar with my assistant, Alexis. She's had people walk up to her and offer to sleep with her boss on more than one occasion if I would give them a job. And Alexis is just aghast trying to explain that I'm a woman. And their response is, they don't care. They'll sleep with me anyway. So I think some of these girls in a lot of ways perpetuated. I mean, you hear the story of like Ben Stiller. He was out with his wife and this woman walked up to him and wanted to sleep with him on the spot. And he laughed and said, well, ask my wife first, and sent her over to his wife. So you hear a lot of those stories. But on the flip side, there are women like you and like these girls who don't want that to happen. And I think because Bill Cosby was a celebrity, I think there is an expectation of safety. As strange as that sounds, you feel you know the person because they're in the media.
So, yeah, well, I think what you just said is very profound, in the sense that people do, when they watch you on television, they feel like they know you. And they do feel that there is a probably some safety in there, or that they are so damn special that you are, you know, paying them that kind of attention. And leave us face it. You know, there's so many different types of people in the entertainment business, but a lot of people that gain power in but I was reading a whole study on narcissism, and many narcissists end up, number one, in politics, and number two, in television and film, in the media.
Oh, Deb, you're the only person I know in this industry that is not a narcissist. You're the exception.
I got other problems. Yeah. I got other problems. Yeah. So I think that, and I think that Bill Cosby is a narcissist, and narcissists feel everything is coming to them, and that they are not at fault for anything that they do. They're usually very bright people, but they blame everyone else for their circumstances. And they get cultivated because they have yes people all around them who are agreeing with them all the time. And come on, leave us face it. He's a brilliant man. He's extraordinarily talented. I think deep down he believes that this was all coming to him, that he deserved it, and that nobody should complain.
I hear that. I went to a couple of parties over the years at the Playboy Mansion and places like that. And I had a conversation about 6 months ago with a friend of mine, Ron Jeremy, who's a porn star. And Ron, no matter what he does for a living, he does love women. He really does. And he's very, very nice to them. He's been genuinely wonderful to me over the years. And he said something to me on the Bill Cosby thing and on Justin Bieber and all of these people. He said something that really, really stuck with me. He said that he truly believes any man that can do that and could hurt a woman like that either has a very bad relationship with his mother, and he made a joke about that that I won't repeat on air, but it kind of did go to the Freudian sex with your mother thing. But in the end, he said, it's a true disdain for women, and Hollywood breeds a certain disdain for women, especially old Hollywood. And he said, you know, in the porn industry, women call the shots. They make more money. They're more powerful. He said, but Hollywood is the antithesis of that. So women are a commodity that are commonly used and abused. And it's wonderful that that's changing over the years. He said, but specifically Bill Cosby, who he himself has met a few times, he said, I have never seen a man see a beautiful woman and dismiss her the same way Cosby did. He said he looks at these women like they're a lamp or a table, not a sentient being. So that was, I'm repeating an opinion of one of the greatest porn stars of all time, but...
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but he said, you know, Ron said himself, whether he's looking at a woman even in a scene when he would do his pornographic films, he understood that there was a person on the other side. And to drug a woman and to do the things that were done to these women, you can only do this assuming that there is no human being on the other side or no one that would feel. It's an absolute lack of empathy.
Yes, absolutely. And that brings me back to narcissism.
Exactly.
Empathy. Yeah.
That's it. All right, guys, we will be back right after the break. Thank you for joining us on Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. We are on with the fabulous Deb Ross, and we will have Cindy Honig on after the break. Stick around. I guess my outro is longer than I thought. It's still going. By the way, the music was brought to us by Scott Haskin, who we love very, very much. And I'm going to have to talk to them about how long our outro music is. We'll be right back.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Know what to do, just can't figure out how to fit it all into your busy life? It doesn't have to be that way. Hi, I'm Ellen Vaisberg from Seamless Life. Join me every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio and learn the how of conscious living. Let me and my guests help make your life seamless.
Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. We are on with my favorite person in the world, Deb Ross. Sorry to everyone that is writing in and asking where John Kessner is. He will be back on next week, but don't worry about it. We like Deb better anyway. And if you get a chance, email John and tell him I said that. We are going to have a wonderful guest on today, Cindy Honig. But right now it is Dev Ross, and we are talking about the horrible things that Bill Cosby's done to women and porn star Ron Jeremy's perspective on why. So if you guys missed that, you'll have to listen into the show when it re-airs tomorrow, or jump on iTunes and find us. I got to give a couple of shout outs. We'll do that later in the show. Dev, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'm glad I got to drag you into a controversial conversation. It's for those of you that don't know Dev Ross and are new listeners, because I know our listenership by being on this channel went up substantially. I wanted to tell you guys, Dev is loved by everyone. She never says anything controversial. And I've been a terrible influence, and I can occasionally get her to use bad language. But for her to get into such a hot topic is absolutely wonderful, and thank you for doing it with us, Dev.
Oh, well, you're absolutely welcome. And it's, you know, it's a topic that I wish would, you know, would go away, and I think over time it will. I mean, there's always going to be people that take advantage of other people, but you know, and there will be women who take advantage of men, and women who take advantage of other women, and men who take advantage of men. I mean, this is an age-old thing. Whenever you have an entitled population and many celebrities are treated with such entitlement that they become shielded from the real world, they really do, I think, begin to lose empathy or touch with reality.
And they act
accordingly. But you know what? We all are responsible for that.
Allowing that sense of See, I think the only celebrity we should allow entitlement to is Hugh Jackman, because I love him.
yeah, I mean, there's always an exception.
Yeah.
But you know, my daughter had a bunch of friends over this weekend. My youngest graduated college.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And they, a lot of them at their age, they all grew up on my Land Before Time movies.
Dev, everyone grew up on your Land Before Time movies.
Well, not everyone. Not okay. The people born in 1800s.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, let's be specific. But
everyone,
you know,
alive today has seen your work.
Well, not everybody. But okay. But my point is that they started gushing over me. And you know from being around me, Summer, how much I am so uncomfortable with that.
I got to explain this to the audience. Guys, okay. If you want to see someone who has made a huge impact on society as a whole, Dev is one of those people. If you want to see, if you want to bring it up, you will then see someone turn beet red, stammer consistently, and be completely unable to accept the compliments and then downplay the impact she's had.
Wow. That was very right on. and they were like, what? And I just said, you know, I put my finger down my throat and went, you know, I went, it's just, you know, it's so uncomfortable because I'm just me. I'm Talia's mother. My kids have a lot of problems with me. I'm good. I'm bad. I'm just somebody's mother, and I do my work. And
for the audience, Dev worked on Land Before Time, Darkwing Duck, Tailspin, absolutely everything we grew up on from Clifford Puppy days on. She was the first female staff writer at Disney, made over $1 billion from this Little Fish Thing in the Land Before Time series for Universal.
Little Fish Thing.
It's okay.
But the thing is just that we all contribute. Every single one of us contribute. And a friend of mine was a television director, and she was on a jury panel, and there was a neurosurgeon on the panel, and she said he was absolutely brilliant, but more people were interested in asking her who she had directed in her TV shows than the neurosurgeon who had done amazing work with brains. And she said, there's something's wrong with that when people are, oh, did you direct so-and-so? Oh, did you direct, what were they like? You know, she just said, oh my God, I have a, you know, I'm on this jury panel with this amazing stories of healing to tell. And they are more interested in me, a TV director. And there's something wrong with that. And you know, I don't want to make huge judgments about human nature, but it gets back to this whole cult of celebrity, is that we treat these people who go to work and they act and they do their job. We put such a shroud of celebrityism over them that they start to live in worlds that aren't real because we have, as their fans, have created that world for them. Does that make sense?
It does. And I agree we need to change the narrative, but there is still something about entertainment specifically. It's the reason I do it. There is not only a sort of immortality in entertainment, you have a way of reaching everyone. Yeah, the neurosurgeon might save 50 lives, but you specifically, I'm going to use you as an example, Dev, sorry, but you specifically have been seen, what you have done has been seen by hundreds of millions of people. You have reached into the homes, childhood, and lives, and you have created an emotional effect in the lives of hundreds of millions of people. So I think the reach that Hollywood has is what makes it so special versus the skill set. But I agree, there is a narrative that we need to change.
Yeah, exactly. We still put, you know, we still put our pants on one leg at a time, except for when I'm in a hurry, you know, or I'm washing my jeans for weeks and I just jump into them. But, you know, you understand what I'm saying. Sure. It is what I do next to what a surgeon does is apples and oranges, but we're all people and we all, you know, we all hopefully follow our passions and we have our lives in perspective. But, I've just been around too many celebrities who I have seen lose
complete
that perspective.
Jackasses.
Well, they just lose the perspective.
It's true.
And I remember when I was a waitress and I waited on, I'll say it, Richard Dreyfuss. And I was excited. I was very young and I was excited to work for him, wait on him. And he was a jackass, you know, talking loudly, looking around, wanting to be noticed. He's a great actor. I don't fault his work, but as a person,
he's an ass.
I don't know, but all I know is that, you know, how you treat, a lot of people judge you and how you treat your servers and how I was treated and how he was in this restaurant. So big, so loud. So everybody look at me that, sorry, Richard, I hope you've changed, or, you know, gotten a little more secure because it was a young actor at that time. You know, it was like, ew, really? Ew, grow up. Leave a better tip, dude. You know, I gave you good service. So, you know, and you see that with that football player who I can't remember his name, who is noted for stiffing or giving really lousy tips to servers and always complaining that their service is so bad, you know, and using his celebrity to get away with it until he was called out by a restaurant owner. I don't know if you read about that or saw it on Facebook, but you know, again, these people start living in a bubble and think they can treat anybody the way they want. And we allow that to happen we call it out. Until, like, that restaurant owner, he puts it on Facebook and that football player is called out. Hey, get real. Your shit stinks just like the rest of us. And, you know, it just makes – so that's why, Summer, I get embarrassed when people
–
Well, yeah, because I just, it's not so much, sure I enjoy intention like anybody, but I just hate where off so often it goes to, and it's uncomfortable and it creates unrealistic expectations. And then when you do something that people don't like and you fall, oh my God, they pounce all over you.
It's very, very true. So I'm going to use that and segue and say, speaking of when people fall, we are going to have on the show right now Cindy Honig, who is the one that helped Hugh Grant after his incident with Divine Brown, speaking of great falls from grace.
Good, see? Yeah, that was planned.
Dev planned it. It was the perfect segue. We will talk about that. Cindy, welcome to the show. You are on with Dev and I. We are on a brand new network, but it's the same old show. I wanted to have you guys on because you are the most popular guests we ever have on.
I love that. Hi, Summer. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Cindy. How lovely.
Hello, I want to hear from you too.
We had the best segue for you. We are talking about celebrity scandal.
Oh, great. Oh, great.
Well, Cindy's got that. Yeah, Cindy's got some stories.
She does. We'll drag them out of her in this. So I'm going to ask you, Cindy. Dev and I were talking about it. What do you think about this Bill Cosby thing? Him basically telling everyone today, he got on television and telling everyone it's none of their business what happened.
It's none of their business. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's none of our business to go see him and pay him the thousands and thousands of dollars that he commands when he does a television show or when he does a stand-up comedy routine. Right. So if it's none of our business, we don't have any business paying him to do what he can only do to make a living.
That's true.
You know, actually, because how ridiculous is it? We know he's guilty. There's too many women coming out to say what he's done to them after all these years. I just wish it hadn't taken them that long.
Well, it was actually a comedian in Vegas stopped doing his show mid-show. He actually stopped, got up on the stage and said, Bill Cosby is a rapist. I am not doing my comedy routine. Bill Cosby is a rapist and no one's doing anything about it.
Whoa.
And that was how this whole thing started.
Yeah, that's how it started. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that, really. Well, you know, I obviously, and here's the thing, you know, I'm speaking as a PR person, a publicist, and I've repped a lot of celebrities before, but here's the deal. You know, I'd like to sit down and talk to Bill Cosby's publicist, because what did they do to try to clean this up? I don't see anything that his publicist or his PR team has done to try to clean this up. It's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, how would you clean it up?
Well, and the first thing I would not, first thing I would not have done is let him go and shoot his mouth off at his last, you know, at when he goes on live, mm-hmm. you know, at the last time he went on live and he's making jokes about it, saying you better not go to the bathroom because, you know, you might get raped, that sort of thing.
Oh, we're going to break. We'll be back right back after the break with Cindy Honig and Dev Ross. We're talking about Bill Cosby and how to mitigate the backlash from the rape. We'll see you guys after the break on Behind the Scenes. No, we are not saying you should. God, that's a long outro. I got to talk to the station.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book? Or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I am your host, Summer Helene. I'm going to give a quick shout out to Scott Haskin for that beautiful, beautiful music. I love it. It's intense. It's very, very film worthy. Thank you very much, Scott Haskin. And I have to give a shout out right here to Van Glam's House of Beauty. Love is in the hair at Van Glam's House of Beauty. They create high-quality custom hair extensions just for you. You can find them on Etsy at vanglamhouseofbeauty.com or their website, Van Glam Hair Extensions. When I say this, I'm not just talking about something that someone's paying me to say or any of that. I actually use these hair extensions. And from the tip of my hair extensions to the tip of my painted toes, I am completely natural looking. They are really great hair extensions, guys, so give them a go. I've got to give a shout out to Griggs Vacuums because Alexis puts this in my show every single week. It is her grandfather's vacuum company. If your vacuum doesn't suck, theirs do. Check them out, Griggs Vacuums. And Alexis, if you did that tagline, that was brilliant. And, of course, Off-Road Rentals in Palm Springs, California. We love you guys. Power Crunch Bars, the best thing on the planet. And everybody else that owns a piece of my tail, I'm sorry, I don't have the list in front of me. I will shoot my assistant when I get done with the radio show. We are on with Dev Ross and Cindy Honig. Thank you guys for joining us on Behind the Scenes. And what you have just walked into is Cindy telling us how she would have mitigated the rape scandal were she Bill Cosby's publicist. Not that we're encouraging that. Welcome back, guys.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
So you would have shut him up, basically.
Absolutely. I would have shut him up for 6 months, put him under house arrest, and had him say nothing without a publicist or a lawyer being there. And but I've never dealt with anybody who's done that sort of thing. You know, that's really reprehensible. And I've only dealt with the Pee Wee Herman situation years and years and years ago, which was much easier to control than I think that this would be. But
well, Pee Wee Herman, you pulled him out of the grave.
Well, we did. You know, actually, when I signed on with this agency, that was the one of the first things I was assigned to with my then boss. And
it was the Pee Wee Herman penis scandal.
Yes, exactly. And basically, our stance was, hey, Florida, if you don't want this to happen in your town or in your theater, knock that thing down. You know, our position was, we believe that there were other people in that theater too, and you only pulled our client out because he was a celebrity. And what we did was we kept him under house arrest for 3 months. And as we planned our strategy, and then what we did was we booked him to host the MTV Awards that year.
And that was when you guys created the pit in front, which
we
I got to give you points
pit.
For.
Remember that. Yeah, we created the pit. We pulled out the first six rows in the theater, and we got, you know, every kid that we could in there that was over the age of 18 that would be in the MTV pit, thousands of them. So when we brought out our host, it was almost like a distraction, but yet it was going to be an attraction as well, because we had, you all know my daughter, Shay, and we had her and her little sister in there and all of their friends that were delighted to be there. And then the night of the event, we were backstage, and Paul, his name is Paul Rubens, who is a lovely, lovely man. He had gained 30 pounds and his hair had grown long, and he was terrified and ashamed and remorseful. And he said, I just don't know what I'm going to say once I go out there. And I never will forget this as we're leaving his dressing room and telling him, and I said, the words will come. And my then boss said, you know what, why don't you just walk out there, walk up to the mic and say, heard any good jokes lately? And if you all remember that's
went
wild. Mm-hmm. And you know, the crowd went wild. And, you know, now, I mean, and Hollywood loves a good comeback story. And at that point, you know, he was remorseful. We put him on The Tonight Show. He expressed his remorse. But the point was, you know, he was held out as a nun in the marketplace, if you will, kind of like Suzanne Somers after Three's Company. So, you know, that's what happened with that. But, you know, Paul's getting ready to have another Saturday morning show. So you see, you know, all is forgiven at some point.
It's true. I do. Well, I don't know about all. I don't know if Cosby's ever coming back from this. Because, when you're getting felonious and, you know, a serial rapist, it's a little different.
There you go. And you're right about that. But also, I think it could have been – I think I would have quit if he had, if I had been his publicist and he had not, you know, gone along with what I had suggested, which was, I am sorry if, you know, whatever we had to do, you know, there's a whole script for this kind of thing, but he's not sorry. You know, he's
not sorry.
He's just denying.
I get that. I think now I do have to tell the audience, by created for the MTV Awards is still used. If you watch the MTV Awards, VH1 Awards, any of these award show, the pitch she created is still used. So that's pretty awesome. But back to Bill Cosby, I mean, I hate to give him this press, but I think this is the dialogue we need to have, specifically about the room that we give people in Hollywood. I mean, look what we do with Justin Bieber.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that. And as we all three know, you know, the power in Hollywood, especially if you're a young girl and you're wanting to make it, the casting couch is real and it's powerful and it's scary. And for somebody young and naive, you know, I could handle that right now so easily. But, you know, younger girls who go to Hollywood and that's going to be their livelihood, they don't know how to handle that.
I don't know if I could have handled it when I was younger. I was, I modeled, everyone knows that, but I had my mom who was in entertainment long before I was.
Sure.
Anyone looked at me, my mom was screaming jailbait. So it was, but I had that person holding my hand, and with all the horrible experiences I have had, I've had so many positive ones because I always had her there. But I'd get stories from her about being in Hollywood in the 60s and 70s and, you know, being raped and having horrible things happen. One of her her dancer friends was killed by the Hillside Strangler. And
oh, my gosh.
Just all of these things that go on.
Well, and, you know, here's the problem, too. You know, you can't be with them all of the time. You know, I have four daughters, and my girls like to go to the mall. And my third daughter, Shay, who you all know, was at the mall. She was 15 years old, and some man in a three-piece suit walked up to her, handed her a card, and said, you can have the cover of Penthouse, I think it was at the time, anytime you want. So there are those kind of people out there stalking these young girls as well.
Well, there are. As soon as I did the Victoria's Secret thing, I got offers from Penthouse, Playboy, all of them. And it was my mom, my dad, it was my family stepping in and going, not in this lifetime, girly.
Of course not. Yeah, you're right about that. And, you know, we can't stop them from doing it, but we can guide them. And, you know, I used to search their pockets when came up. But you have to do that, though.
It is. And it's what's interesting about it is I look at like Dev's experiences. She's had some beautiful experiences, but being, you know, the first female staff writer at Disney, she had some horror stories there. But she still has that love of Hollywood.
I do too. You know,
I know you do too.
I still have that longing, even though I'm not living there now. I still have that longing that I'm going to go back there one of these days.
It's true.
Because it's the work.
Yes,
that's right.
We love the work. Yeah. When you get on a team that, and to me, it's not, you know, I love today. I'm working on a play, and I all of a sudden noticed that I was starving, and hours had passed, and I went, oh, I love this work. I just love this work. But even more than I love sitting at my computer and writing, I love being with a creative team and generating ideas and just that camaraderie of creating something beautiful together that we all will get to look at and see. And I think most of us, there's some people who go into it because they're in love with celebrity. And that's, you know, that's one thing.
Those people, I've always found those people are gone in a moment. Because they can't stick through the work to get to that point.
Yes, I think that's true. And I think, you know, I don't want to diss reality shows, but those people who are on reality shows, you know, that's many of them fall into the cult of celebrity.
Yes.
You know, you look at the Kardashians and that ilk, you know, Honey Boo Boo, you know, that's all the cult of celebrity. And that's something very different than the people, unless they really love going there and having cameras following them around. I mean, I don't want to take that away. That would be a judgment of mine, but
Kim Kardashian is a moron. I'm just going to say that. Sorry, please continue.
You're right. All right, here's the thing, Dev. I mean, I was in television too for a long, long time. But guess what? You know, reality television wasn't around when I was in television. But I have to tell you, I find that, you know, anybody can have a camera set up in their home, and it doesn't make you a working actor. You know, it just doesn't. And I have no respect for that. And I'm going to say that out loud. I mean, not the kind of work that Dev does, or kind of work that you did, Summer, or the kind of work that I do. You know, it's not the same. It doesn't take any creative team or work at all. It just takes you to get up in the morning, go to the bathroom, put your makeup on, somebody put your makeup on, you walk out the door. You know, I just don't call that talent.
No, it's more than that. It's not only that. In Kim Kardashian's case, her mother is a brilliant publicist. That woman is brilliant. She took the fact that her daughter made a sex tape with Ray J and turned it into a career. The mother is the only one in that group that has any talent, and she made the girls a fortune by selling their lack of talent.
Them. By exploiting them.
Yeah.
With their permission, I'm sure.
Yeah. And it's a little shocking, but I'm glad. They just talked about it not too long ago. Kim Kardashian was trying to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, God, I know.
And they said no reality stars. This is only for real entertainers.
Well, and you know, and that's a tough deal to get a star on the Walk of Fame, because I tried for years with Suzanne Somers to do that. And I mean, if Suzanne Somers she was passed over year after year after year and finally got hers. But please, if they ever give Kim Kardashian one, I'm going to resign from the Publicist Guild, because
I'm with you. I quit Hollywood.
horrible.
What do you think, Dev?
Well, about the star, about the reality shows,
about everything. Cindy and I just went off left.
Well, you know, I'm pitching a reality show right now. It's my.
Are you kidding? Is this about you and John?
Oh God! Now that would be the perfect reality show.
That would be a reality show.
Oh God! We're going to break.
I got to hear about this reality show.
I'll tell you about it
right after the break, guys. We'll be back with Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. We are on with Dev Voss and Cindy Honig, two of your favorite guests, two of my favorite people. We will be right back.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm the host of Co-Creating Now. Give yourself an opportunity to connect with your all-knowing higher self and manifest joy, love, and peace together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome Welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. I just got a text message from Scott Haskin, who wrote that wonderful music that you heard right before and after the break. And he says our outro is too long, so we'll get that fixed next week. Thank you guys for joining us on our new network on Behind the Scenes. We are on with Cindy Honig and Dev Ross. This is our last segment before the end of the show. And so we got to hear about Dev's reality show.
Yes, I want to hear, Dev.
Well, it's the last thing I ever thought I would do. Actually it was a lot harder creating than I thought. I live in Sedona and, am I allowed to say as it's being pitched what the title is?
Don't say the title. We don't want to do that. Cause then I'm going to have to sue people if they take it. So let's not get the audience to hate me.
It's about a segment of our very interesting population in Sedona. We had auditioned many of that interesting segment and came down with four really top-notch interesting people of the same profession. And we have created a show around them. We did a sizzle reel. And the interesting thing is that I went ahead and I had to create what the series is going to look like for the first season with emotional arcs and everything. So what I've really learned is that, yes, there's a lot of improv that's happened in reality shows, a lot of that's just real, but there's also a lot of really manipulated stuff scripted stuff. And the more I got to know my characters, the easier it was for me to plan out
what was going to happen.
You know, what 13 episodes are going to be based, again, heavily based on who they are. But I had to, as a writer, go ahead and sculpt what the arcs were going to be and what that was going to look like. And it kind of shocked me how much planning I was asked
to do.
There is
a lot of planning in reality television. There really is. But on the flip side, when you put on shows like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Jersey Shore, I think that reality shows can be interesting, the same as documentary shows. You look at things like The Biggest Catch. I think things like that can be interesting. Mythbusters, things like that are brilliant. But when you put in Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Honey Boo Boo, and all of that garbage, I think we're really lowering the bar. I mean, within our own group. And I've seen the sizzle for your show, Dev, and it is fantastic. It certainly does not go in the realm of Keeping with the Kardashians or any of those morons. But it is a very, very unique show. But your show is focusing on reality and the supernatural, and it is something very unique. And I don't think it really goes in the classic reality television mold. I really don't.
Well, what they're calling it is docu-reality. So I feel a lot better about it. In this docu-reality, I think that we are, you know, we're not looking to create bullshit conflict, basically.
No, but it's a great show.
We're creating conflict that I think is
reasonable.
It's reasonable. It's more genuine. It's not, oh, she's a bitch. She slept with my boyfriend. You know, it has a stronger hook than that. More, there's going to be more at stake emotionally.
Well, your show is something that could be seen on Discovery. It could be seen on that. Exactly. To me, it may go in the reality genre, but that is not the classic archetype reality show.
Exactly. So I do feel better about it, but I know that also when I'm working with these people, they're not actors. And when we were working on the sizzle reel and I was setting the stage for, as an acting coach or a director might say to actors, to create more emotional stakes, it fell flat because they don't speak my language. They don't speak that, you know, these
people. They don't speak your language.
They don't speak that language.
But in defense, I worked on a television show with you in Sedona, and a lot of people there aren't actors anyway, even the ones that say they are.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So again, we get back to the conversation of, you know, loving the work, and the work is different than the business. movies and television and that are a narrative are very different than a reality show. You know, so you have all kinds of people mixed into this pot. And I now know more than ever as I get older in this business how you start to work with fewer and fewer people. You work with the people you know are going to show up. That you like, that you can have a disagreement with, and it's going to be okay. And you're going to get the work done. And that becomes very, very valuable. I understand why so many great directors, why even, you know, Woody Allen, for instance, who has his own scandals, but, you know, who they Cassavetes, John Cassavetes, Clint Eastwood, start working with a small ensemble of people.
It's the people you know that will pull their weight and stay out of your business if they can.
Yeah, yeah. But they're going to do the work, and they love the work as much as you. And, you know, and that's, boy, when you have that, whew.
Hollywood, that's one thing. You got to love the work. And I'm going to use that as a segue and say, speaking of loving the work, you guys know B.B. King died yesterday.
That was
heartbreaking. He actually, a lot of his music, did you guys know he used to compose for film? Yeah. Not many people knew that.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, he used to on the side compose for film.
Oh.
He was a brilliant man, brilliant man.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Really was. But I think that is what makes Hollywood so unique, is it is such an ensemble in itself. And everyone does such drastically different things. You know, what Dev does, she creates the story. What Cindy does is she makes sure everyone sees it and hears about it and the actors and everything else. I just find the money and do the paperwork.
that's so important. You can't do it without the money. But, you know, I love what you said about, you know, and on, you know, trying, you know, film and television being an ensemble piece, because, you know, I think there's a good and bad side about that. I think it's so important to have that, because you become a little family and you trust each other. And you trust those people that you work with, whether it's your publicist or your director or your camera person, your DP, whatever it is. You know, you trust each other, and you know exactly how
you
that
know,
person.
You know the you limits, do. The good and the bad.
You do. And the bad part of it is, I think, in film is that, you know, you do become a little family, and that's why there are so many, you know, relationships.
But it's also why Hollywood's so small, and it's also why it functions. I mean, by working with the same people repeatedly, you know, I know that if I'm looking at a script, I'm not sure about whether to take or not, I will call Dev. If I'm in a jam, I call Cindy. There are people you get comfortable with and you get used to. If I have a friend of mine that works over at Fox, you know him, Dev. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I'm not sure about where the money is going to come in on something, I call him. You just get used to the same people, and you get used to them because you know that this is their good, this is their bad, this is what I can rely on them for, and you know what you're going to get.
It's all about trust.
But it's not your money you're risking. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. You better be comfortable with the people that you're involving yourself with. Mm-hmm. And especially in Hollywood, reputation's a damn big thing. It doesn't matter what people think of you outside of it, but it's so small that within the group, you do have to guard your reputation. You know, you find people, and it happens to me a lot, where people say they work at this studio or that studio, and I can call and find out if you've worked there. I know someone that you know somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody can put on a producer hat the minute that they cross the California line and get to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody can become a producer. And so you're absolutely right about that, you know, Summer, that you have to be able to check their credibility. And, you know, that's in this business, that's all you've got is your reputation and your credibility.
And it's so important. Summer knows the situation that happened to me. I was hired for a screenplay, and then I got – before I didn't have the job 5 minutes when I was fired because a so-called producer – who wanted his wife to write the script. This is a true story. Wanted his wife to
that
write the script.
That was that Mark Halperin jackass that nobody yeah. I know would ever work with.
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I'm
but
saying
he,
his name on the radio.
Yeah.
Mark Halperin, stay out of Hollywood. Sorry.
Yeah, well, he basically lied and yeah. said that I had, you know, nobody at Disney had ever heard of me and dis. Yeah. I mean, I was just shocked, but the money people, because he said he was a producer. And rather than doing their due diligence, they just,
balked.
You know, they balked. And, you know, I said, my God, look at my resume. What do you mean? But he created, and this guy's done nothing, but he's a good liar. And then I have found out that he's, from other people now, he's kind of a con. Well, he is a con. But, you know, by proclaiming, you know, my dad used to say in his Yiddish accent, you know, you say you're a doctor, but by a doctor, are you a doctor? You know,
and yep,
so this guy said, you know, he said he was a producer, but by other producers, he wasn't in the Producers Guild. No, you know, but he could talk. He's a
but
good
nobody
bullshitter.
That mattered knew who the fuck
that's
he was.
Right, but in the meantime, he got me. He got me good.
Yep.
I lost a job.
That's it. Guys, that's the end of the show. Thank you very much, Cindy Hoenig. Thank you very much, Dev Ross. Fuck you, Mark Halperin. You're not welcome in Hollywood. Guys, we'll see you next week on Behind the Scenes.
Love you both.
Bye, Cindy.